If you have your Bibles today, you should have. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Great book. Man, great chapter. In this chapter, Jesus is just beginning, is just on the verge of going to the cross and then going back to his Father in heaven. But he saw that the disciples needed something more since he was leaving. You think about it, if you'd have been in the presence of Jesus physically for 3 years, and then suddenly Jesus was gone, no longer physically with you. We're just saying, Jesus, I don't think I can make it here without you. And Jesus said, I've got something else. I got someone else. The Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're dealing with today. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. New King James, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Father, I ask your blessing over the ministry of the Word of God today. Thank you for your divine presence. It's here already. Your will be done in each life and each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today about we must have the Holy Spirit. Here Jesus headed to the cross to accomplish the Father's work of redemption for the world, and he did. He completed it. He had the authority to lay down his life, the authority to take it up again, and he did both. But his earthly ministry was nearing completion, and he realized that he would no longer be with the disciples and those who accepted him as Messiah. And it's not that God was wondering what the world is going to do. God always knows what he's going to do. We're the ones that's wondering what the world we're going to do next. But Jesus, as long as he was with the disciples there physically in his humanity, he was their counselor, their guide, their friend while he was with them. He had instructed them, and Jesus had, you know, Jesus bears a lot of things God does with us. That's just supposed to encourage you so much, I know. But Jesus had borne their prejudices, their ignorance, and had ministered consolation to them in times of despondency. But he was about to leave them and go, and they would go alone into an unfriendly world. But Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now notice the Trinity right there in that verse. Jesus said, I will pray. Jesus, one, pray the Father, two, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You see it there, Trinity? And so the Holy Spirit would come. Who was he? What would he do? Was this Holy Spirit with Jesus as he ministered on earth? Yes, the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. Amen. Continually. When he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him. And so we know the Holy Spirit was with in Jesus as he ministered throughout his earthly ministry here. And God saw that we need the same thing each believer did. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour my Spirit on all flesh. Everyone could receive the Holy Spirit. Everyone could receive the power to walk and to live and to operate in the will of God. Okay? And so, when you mention the Holy Spirit, many people immediately think of speaking in tongues. That's part of it, but the Holy Spirit is not just tongues. And many people think that Pentecostals are emotionally disturbed, and I've met some that were. Or think that the Holy Spirit is some far out idea. But let me just make this very clear. People who speak in tongues in church generally are speaking praise to God in a language not naturally learned, but they're worshiping God. And so don't be upset if somebody speaks in tongues. God can fill you with the Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues too. Praise the Lord. However, tongues with interpretation, which we've heard this morning, is a spiritual gift. And if you want to read it in 1 Corinthians 14, it'll tell you there that one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of tongues and interpretation. We've seen that this morning. Man, it was not pre-planned ahead of time. It just happens when we're in the presence of God sometimes. So let's notice, first of all, the Holy Spirit is God. God is triune. He's revealed to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's such unity and such closeness there that it's more than can be explained. But the Bible makes it very clear that God is the Father, and Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit proceeds both from the Father and the Son. 1 John 5 and 7, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They're one in mind, will, and purpose. And the Holy Spirit is not something you get. The Holy Spirit is somebody. He's God. And we look here, the Comforter, Greek parakletos, mean one called alongside to help. New King James translated as the helper. And the word here, parakletos, means comforter, strengthener, helper, advocate, ally, and friend. And the Holy Spirit is all of these and much more. He is a person. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. He can be offended. He can be sinned against. So he is a person. Okay. And I had a guy that didn't believe in the Trinity. He was talking to me one time. He said, which one are you praying to today? I said, I'm praying to the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was my answer. But I believe to say there's not a Trinity is tremendous error. In the Word of God, there is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is God. He is the one who leads people to Christ. He's the one that led me to Christ. If you're saved, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 8, when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And God, the Holy Spirit, does that. He makes a person know that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. He convicts people and makes them know that the way you're living is not going to carry you to heaven. Amen. So He convicts of sin. And sin makes a person know that they are a sinner and in need of salvation. You say, well, does the Holy Spirit put people down? No, He makes people know they're already down. They need to come up to God. Man, it's not that mankind has to become a sinner first. He's already a sinner. He's born with a sin nature, thanks to Adam. So He will convict the world of sin. Because you see, God hates sin, but God loves the sinner, or else nobody here would be saved. God cares for us, and God cares for you, and God loves you. My friend, you can go home if you don't remember anything else. Remember, God loves you enough to give heaven's greatest treasure, His only begotten Son, so that you and I could be saved and be with Him in His eternity. That's the love of God. Praise the Lord. And so, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin. He'll convict the world of righteousness. He will make everybody know that by their own efforts and by their own works, they can never obtain a righteous standing before God in heaven. It takes some kind of righteousness besides what we've got. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the work of the Holy Spirit that we're saved. Amen. So the Holy Spirit makes us know that the only way to heaven is to be righteous before God. And the only way we can be righteous before God is accept Christ as our Savior, and then He becomes our righteousness. And God sees us through the perfect righteousness of His Son. When Jesus walked this earth, He never committed a sin. He never sinned one time. Never. He was perfectly pure, perfectly holy, and makes me wonder how in the world He can stand to look at us. But He does. He loves us. We're created in His likeness and image. And He does care for us, and He does look at us, and He says, I want you. Amen. Uncle Sam may have said that when He wanted you to go to war, I want you. But I want to tell you something, God wants you in His army. God wants you in His family. God wants you in His heaven. And God loves and cares for each of us. Are you glad that Jesus loves you today? Praise the Lord. Amen. So He provides righteousness for us so we can stand accepted in the presence of Almighty God, the Creator. And the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit makes a person know that there is a judgment and a payday for their sin. You may be thinking, I know a lot of people that need a payday. Well, we'll let God take care of that. But you see, with Christ, our sins were judged at the cross. He took upon Himself everything. Amen. He was weighed down heavy with my failures, my sins, your sins, our faults and failures. You know, we kind of covered up a little bit by saying faults and failures, but it's sin. And so Jesus was weighed down with the guilt and the shame of every sin that anybody in this building has ever committed. That was a heavy load to carry. But He carried it all the way to Calvary so that we could, and He was judged in our place. He took the punishment for my sins and yours. And so the Holy Spirit makes know that there is no other way that you can get to heaven except through Christ. And He convicts, the Holy Spirit does, of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And so people can be saved, born again of God's Spirit, and be delivered and set free and be declared not guilty. That's what it means to be justified, to be declared not guilty. Only God can do that. When God saves a person, they are birthed, born again of God's Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told Nicodemus, said, except a man, or unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus had a little problem there. He said, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so we know that we can be born again of God's Spirit and spiritually birthed and be a part of His kingdom, become a child of God through the new birth. Amen. But Jesus says here to His disciples, I believe, into us today, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And you know, we just, a lot of people think, you know, that salvation is just a free gift to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, you bless the food once now, and then in eternity you eat all you want. I heard one preacher say, when the millennial kingdom gets here, I'm ready, I want to eat my way back to good health. He was overweight and he liked to eat. Well, I don't think that's the way we want to take it here, but if you love Me, keep My commandments. And we know that Jesus is the only one that kept the perfect righteousness of God, lived the perfect righteousness of God. But you see, they would have to keep the commandments. They would have to live for God and serve God. They weren't justified by that. They were justified by the faith in the blood of Christ. But keep My commandments. You see, without supernatural help, without the help of the Holy Spirit, they could not endure the persecution that they would go through, the endless temptations they would face to compromise the gospel. They could not resist all the demonic powers to destroy the spread of the good news of the gospel through the blood of Christ. And I want to tell you, the devil is not happy about the blood of Christ. But I'm overjoyed that the blood of Christ washes us and makes us clean and white as the driven snow and acceptable before God in heaven. Hallelujah. And so there would be persecutions, there would be great temptations, there would be compromises that they would have to face, and they would have to say no to them. And plus, God had called them to spread the good news of His salvation and the message of the cross throughout the whole world. Amen. And so, you think we don't need the Holy Spirit today? You need the Holy Spirit, because persecution may be coming. I feel like it's going to come to our country here greater than it's ever been. Today we think somebody's persecuted if they have a relative that don't want them to go to church. That may be some sort of persecution. When my granddad was young, just a boy, he got to reading the Bible, and somebody told his mother, said, if you don't get that Bible away from Jack, his name was Jack, he said, he's going to go crazy. Well, Jack went crazy. Not what we would call it, but he got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and lived for God all of his life. Amen. Had a near-death experience before he died, and he said, death, that's not anything to worry about. Glad he told me. And then he died, went on to glory, 71 years old. So that's God. It didn't make him maybe crazy in the natural sense, but not in the spiritual sense. He found Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so they were commended in the New Testament. They would face persecution. They were commanded in one place not even to mention the name of Jesus anymore. In Acts chapter 4, God had just healed a man at the Gate Beautiful, chapter 3. In chapter 4, the disciples were told by the Sanhedrin, the religious people of that day, that they were not to preach the name of Jesus anymore. But Peter preached to them and says, there is not salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men except Jesus, that a man might be saved. And so they spoke the word of God. They were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. But it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. It took God to help them do that. I mean, they're in the, you know, we don't understand it here, but they were in the way of having a head chopped off because they would speak the name of Jesus. Because if the religious leaders told you not to do it, you didn't do it. Oh, but they did. They did. People continued to do. And somebody spoke to me when I was a kid, and I heard, and I'm saved today because somebody spoke the gospel to me and told me about the name of Jesus. That's the only way I could be saved. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we love Jesus, we're going to try to live for him. This idea that we're saved and we can just go live like the devil and still go to heaven? No. If you live like the devil, you're going to be with him in eternity, in a devil's hell. No? Jesus loves us, and he gave a commandment, a new commandment in Scripture for us to love one another. And many things can be said about love. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. Doesn't mean we have to die physically. But that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And so Jesus said, keep my commandments and I will give you another comforter. I will give you another helper, another advocate, another counselor. All of these describe the Holy Spirit. And so he's all of that. Another helper, another comforter. God would send the Holy Spirit to help them to resist sinful temptation. Do you think we don't need the Holy Spirit today? Yes, you do. And God sent the Holy Spirit so that they could live in victory, not be defeated or downcast all the time. Amen? Have you ever met somebody that just had a sad story every time you met them? I mean, it's just worse and worse. It's terrible, you know. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That kind of attitude, you've seen that. But you see, God didn't intend for us to live in defeat, but to live in victory. That does not mean you're going to be jumping up and happy all the time. People go through things. Good people go through terrible things. And people go through death. People go through things, death of loved ones, and go through tragedies. But yet, they're in love with Jesus. They're walking with God. They hadn't been left behind because God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with them to walk them through. So you need the Holy Spirit. And so they need the Holy Spirit to resist temptations, to live in victory, to spread the gospel. And you and I must also help to have this help. Well, you say, well, I need something greater than me. You're right. I need something greater than me. Jesus said, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive help, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for what? Power to resist temptation, power to spread the gospel, power to take the good news all the way to the ends of the earth. That's what we're attempting to do. Every time we send a missionary out, we're attempting to obey Jesus' command to take the gospel to the whole world. And I heard somebody say, well, if them people over there need to hear about the gospel, God can take it to them some other way. No, God's chosen me and you to do that. Take it here in our town and take it and send it across the world. He called us to send this gospel. Thank God. And Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, here in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so we know that the gospel spread even in the New Testament times. In the book of Acts, they went to various places that Jews just didn't go because there wasn't anybody Jewish there. But you see, God is not prejudiced in any way. He died for both Jew and Gentile, slave, free. He died for everybody. It's His will that everybody, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. You don't have to wonder if it's God's will to save this person or not. It is God's will. Amen. You might not want to save them, but God will. And so, to resist temptation, to resist the enemy, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the enemy wants to control you. And let's think about the word control there just for a moment. The enemy wants you to be controlled by sin nature. Amen. When somebody gets too close to you in traffic, sin nature rises up and said, I'll just run them off the road. It's not too far over there. That's the sin nature. And a little kid doesn't get his way, he gets mad. And not just little kids get mad. People our age and our size get mad too. Man, I remember when my two sons were little, and I'll tell it because they're not here to defend themselves. But Philip, my youngest son, would get mad at my oldest son. And if he'd get mad at him, whatever he had in his hand, toy, he'd throw it at him. And so we had a way of breaking him of that, and it worked. You don't have to wonder what that was. God's got a way of dealing with us too. God, in the spiritual sense, knows how to bend us over and warm us up until we are obedient. And I know that's taking the natural and spiritual, putting them together, but God does have a way of disciplining us, and God does so by His Holy Spirit, and He's glad to. Praise the Lord, and I'm glad He does. But you think about control. When somebody wants to control your every move, you ever met somebody that wanted to control everything you said and did, and the places you went, and what you could do, and deprive you of spiritual instruction? My friend, if somebody like that controls you, they're not from God. If that control idea comes up, that means red flags ought to go up everywhere. Say, well, I don't want my girlfriend or boyfriend to go there because somebody might steal them from me. If they can steal them from you, they needed to be stole. You just live for God. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And they, the disciples and us, need more than what we can produce ourselves. You know, if we could produce what it took to get to heaven, then there was no need for Jesus to come to start with. But we can't produce that. And if we could produce the power to do everything that Jesus told us to do, then we don't need the Holy Spirit. But God told us the things to do, and we need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. And when we're saved, yes, we're birthed. We're born again of God's Spirit. We become children of God right then. But God says to be not only filled, but to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's with initial emphasis of speaking in tongues. You say, well, that'll make me crazy. No, it won't. Unless you think I'm crazy, but I'm not. Sometimes. But you see, we need the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless or as orphans here that doesn't have anybody to help them. Orphans, many times, people that don't have a parent, or if they've been given over to people that will just parent them, many times they will take things like food to bed with them because they're not sure they're going to get a next meal. They're afraid of that. They're fear. But the paraclete, the comfort, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans, but I'll leave someone to help you. Amen. I don't know, you probably get tired of my personal illustrations, but I'm going to use one anyway. Years ago, when I was a kid, that's been a lot of years ago now, my uncle owned a sale barn, cattle sale barn, and I worked for him some. And my parents wouldn't let me play football because it was sin to play football then. But I guarantee you, at the sale barn, I got horned and bucked and kicked more than I ever would in a football game. But I was working in a gate where that is the next gate. They let the cattle into the ring, and then the people bid on them and bought them and sold them, auctioned them off. And the guy in the pen in front of me was dealing with cattle. And one day we had hot shots that came off of a walking cane, and they were really hot. They'd just shoot fire about a half inch, quarter inch. I can exaggerate a little bit. I'm in Texas. But anyway, you could see the fire. And a bull, male, came and stepped on my foot one day, and ouch, you know, it hurt, because he, you know, if a 1,000-pound bull steps on your foot, it'll hurt you too. And so the guy in the next pen in front of me, he got tickled. He just made fun of me and just laughed. He thought it was the funniest thing ever. But just not long after that, this cow came in right into his pen, and he was crawling up on the fence just to sit and wait till it's time to go the next one. That cow ran up behind him, stuck her horns, you know where, and helped him over the fence. He wasn't laughing at me anymore. I kept it quiet, but I was laughing at him. But that cow thought he needed help getting over the fence, and he did. That's maybe a bad way of illustrating help. But you see, God is a loving God to us. He's a parent that helps us. And children need parents to instruct them and to guide them into adulthood. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Parents need the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says, do not be drunken with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Doesn't mean it's all right to drink a little bit. No, just don't be drunken with the things of this world. Not just wine, but all the sinful things of this world. Don't be absorbed with sin. And as believers, we have a Heavenly Father who will guide, protect, and help us as we walk this walk of faith. And He, the Holy Spirit, will help us to say no to things that are sinful. He'll give you the power to say no. Things that will steal and destroy your life, the Holy Spirit will help us to avoid those things. Things that will steal our peace and our hope and our love for God. That's what the enemy wants to steal. Peace, hope, and love. He wants to steal your soul because he hates you. But God loves you and wants you to be secure in Him. And we're secure as we walk in the truth. And here, last of all, He is the Spirit of truth. He's waiting for me to get to that last one. Here I am. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him, knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. And so we need the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we need the Holy Spirit of truth when we live in a society and a world full of lies. How we need truth, and we hear lies daily. And somebody told me, said, the way I figure out how to vote is I just figure out which politician lies the least, and I vote for that one. I don't know. You know, I'd like to go to Washington and preach that. Amen. But the truth is, you know, what sin does to a person, God tells us by His Holy Spirit what sin does to a person. And how it can completely destroy a person. And the lying spirit, the devil, he'll come, he'll tell lies and everything. He'll make sin look real good. If he couldn't make sin look good, there wouldn't anybody be sinning. But he makes it look real good. But he doesn't tell you the wages of sin is death. It's not just physical death, but eternal separation from God in hell. And so, John 14:26 here in our text, past our text. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, and Jesus said more about hell than He did heaven. And there's the belief many times today that hell is not eternal, that it's just for the moment, or just burn up and that's it. You cease to exist. I heard a guy teach on this on TV. Hadn't listened to him since. He was saying in hell you just burn up because in God's eternities there's no pain. There's no pain in heaven in God's eternity. It's all there is in hell. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 9, it says, "And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made nations to drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication." She was sinful. "Then a third angel followed and said, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast or his image," that's the Antichrist, "and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, he himself shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends," not just till they burn up, "ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast," the Antichrist, "and his image, and whoever receives the mark on his name, of his name." Let me tell you something, friend. Hell is a real place, and I really don't want to go there, and I really don't want anybody else to go there. And no thinking person in their right mind wants to go there. And not even God wants you to go there. God wants you to accept his Son and be forgiven and love him and turn to him and have eternal life without pain, sickness, sorrow, or death, and live with him forever in his eternity. That's too good just to talk about. I love the eternal God as our refuge. Praise the Lord. This is the reason, friend, people teach against this and make all sorts of things about it. There's no eternity and all of that. Most people are willing to believe in eternal heaven, but it comes to an eternal hell, they don't want to believe that. But you see, friend, we must form our beliefs from what God said in Scripture. I don't decide to believe a list of things and decide I'm going to live that way. I let God decide how I need to live, and I go to for him for his instruction. He tells us how to live in this book. He tells us how to reach heaven. He tells us that he loves us. He tells us that he cares. He tells us if we turn to him, he'll never leave us or forsake us, but he'll go with us always, even to the end of the age. My friend, this book of the law shall not pass out of your mouth, the Bible says, but you shall meditate in there day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's Joshua 1:8, I think. God loves you. God does not want you to be without him. But he desires for you to be with him forever. My friend, I can't tell you better news than that. That God loves you, God cares, and God wishes his eternity to be filled with you and me and anyone whosoever will. Praise the Lord.